Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport. But at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today. Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's CAMS Pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
I want to thank everybody that's here tonight. This is for Jim Lee, who is played for the Syracuse Orange. He's also helping out wounded veterans through the book that he's brought with him tonight. So we're going to be talking about Syracuse, a little bit about Lemoyne as well. But 15 Feet for Free was written with your dad in mind, who was a wounded veteran for the United States. And this book actually gives half of everything that's bought will go straight to veterans in our community. So it's the first time I know you're out doing something like this, Jim. We're doing it with Cam's Pizzeria. And I wanted to, first off and foremost, thank you for doing a book like this and doing something for the community and for your father. And I guess we'll start there. What about your father really made you want to do something special for him?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. And my dad was a World War II vet in the United States Coast Guard. He lost both of his legs. And but you never would have known he was disabled. He did everything, and he passed away about 11 years ago, and we've been running a golf outing ever since, and I figured at some point I'm going to get too old to do that. So I decided to write this book as another way to generate funds to help out our wounded veterans.
And when you come up with a book like this, I know Jim Boeheim has given his thoughts on the book, as well as Bob Costas, well-known broadcaster. And then you have some other guys that played inside of the NBA, John Stockton. You have Jerry McNamara, who's obviously back in the community again. To get all those names to be a part of this book and to be a part of what you're doing, just go into how that all came about. And Jim Boeheim here calling you the best shooter from 15 feet he's ever seen, which I think is pretty big to say about you and your history at Syracuse. And Jim Boeheim doesn't pay a ton of compliments, so when he gives you something like this, I think that says a lot.
That's pretty cool. He's right, though. Just to get back on how I got some of these people involved, I wanted to make it so it was kind of, friendly. I knew everybody, and I didn't want them to just do it just for the sake of doing it. I wanted them to believe in what I was trying to do, and a couple of guys like John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek, for that matter. I'd never met them before, but they played for Frank Layton. And Frank's a friend of mine. He used to coach at Niagara before he went on with the Utah Jazz and was general manager of the Knicks. And he's the one who got me involved. They told him I had to set it up where Frank gave them a phone call, told them what I was trying to do and how I was trying to help the vets, and to see if it was okay. And once he told them what I was trying to do, they said, "Coach, just have Jim give us a call." So it was kind of easy to get us there. And like I said, I only grabbed the guys at Syracuse that had an 80% career foul shooting record or above. There weren't too many of them. But I talked to all those because obviously a lot of the younger people will know guys like Jerry McNamara more than myself, and Richard Cornwall, and Greg Cole, Marty Head.
So there was no, obviously, you didn't have to get in touch with Fab Mello or anything like that when you're doing a book like this, or Renze Onowaku. I mean, when you got Jerry McNamara, who was really on your list? Because there's not a ton of guys at Syracuse that have been that clutch recently besides a 90% free throw shooter like Jerry McNamara.
Well, I had the foul shooting record for 30 years, and Jerry broke it. So Jerry was there, Richie Cornwall, myself, Marty Head, Danny Chase, and I believe Greg Coles. I think they're the only ones that, and once again, there are a couple others, but they're the ones that I personally knew, and I wanted to make this kind of a personal story or thing, and so I wanted everybody that I knew to be involved. I didn't just want to go out, pick up the phone, call people that I had never met before. And but you're right, there's not many in the history of the university that have an 80% or higher free throw percentage.
Now, you being a part of this community and doing everything that you did at your time at Syracuse, but to stay in this community, I think that's something that's important to talk about. A lot of people, myself, I was here, I went to Scranton, I went out to Orlando, Florida, and ended up coming back to Syracuse with my company. How important is it for you to be a part of Central New York, to be a part of the fabric of this entire community that we've had, but to not be a part of it just growing up, but to raise a family here, to come back here, to do what you're doing in business here, to have this book obviously have a lot of meaning to people here in this community? What made you want to stay a part of the fabric of Central New York, even when you had an opportunity, obviously, to leave and do other things?
You know, I didn't grow up here. I grew up outside of Binghamton, and with my brother Mike and I came to school here to play ball. Actually, Mike was a coach at Lemoyne in the 80s for 5 or 6 years. Once I got out, I had a tryout with San Antonio Spurs. Didn't work out. Obviously, my size caught up with me. As they said, he goes, I wasn't strong enough and wasn't quick enough. So when I came back at that point, I mean, all my friends were here, so I stayed here. And I mean, I love Syracuse. I mean, day like today is not the greatest to love, but you know, I've got 3 kids. They've all grown up here on the west side of town. They've all went to school, they've graduated, and of course now they've left because they can't take the weather. But no, I think the people around here are great. I got so many friends, and I don't see why a lot more people that graduate from university that actually don't make it in the NBA and have to go somewhere else, they don't come back, because it's a great place to grow up.
And not just with Syracuse, which is, you know, a few minutes down the road, but with Lemoyne being here as well. You being a part of the community, your brother, like you said, being a coach at Lemoyne, what has this school meant and to your family and your connection to the community in that respect, too? Because I think, you know, Syracuse obviously gets a lot of support. They have a lot of people that come out. But Lemoyne sometimes is a box score in the newspaper. They're not talked about as much. And no matter what Steve Evans and some of the coaches out here do, there isn't that coverage like there should be, and I've tried to change that a little bit with my company, and I know other people have, but what does a school like Lemoyne mean to this community? I mean, my father's an alum here, but what has it meant to you, and what do you think it can mean in the future, knowing that Syracuse is right down the road?
Well, I know my wife graduated from here in the 70s. Aside from my brother Mike, my brother Tim graduated from here. The new president is a friend of mine, and actually one of the dean of the business school, when I helped my brother up here, he was on my JV basketball team. And I agree with you. I just can't believe why the newspapers and the media don't pick up more, and the TV stations, as far as covering Lemoyne basketball, Lemoyne baseball, boys and girls, everything that goes around in the area, because there's only 3 schools here: Syracuse, Lemoyne, and OCC. And I think that they should get more coverage, because I mean, it's a great place. I probably have just as many friends, if not more, that graduated from Lemoyne than I do Syracuse.
And with the book that you have, not just for, it's not just for basketball players. I know that you tried to impart a lot of knowledge here with 15 Feet for Free, that you talk about family, you talk about life lessons. And I think one thing that I've learned through sports and that I've used through sports as a broadcaster is to not just talk about a box score or how many points somebody had in the game, but to talk about their leadership. What guy doesn't have a father that came to Syracuse, or who was asked to start working when he was a young kid and still going through high school, or you know, someone who had his mother die when he was young, or a woman that comes in that's been through a tough part in her family as well. To really tell the stories of the leadership, or somebody who plays basketball at SU or plays softball at Lemoyne or something like that, but after they come out of practice, they're going to the soup kitchen, or you know, even at CBA with the pitcher Jordan Sheridan, who's now up at St. Lawrence University, who every strikeout she had was given money to hunger, and she was bringing that money to Syracuse downtown and raising over $2,000 to give money back to that. So I think there's a lot of stories behind the story, and that's kind of what this book has been, that you know, anyone that buys the book not only helps veterans, but if they buy the book, you impart a lot of knowledge about your life and about some things that basketball taught you that can help you no matter what you do in your life. And how important was it for you to kind of say, hey, if you pick up this book, which is an easy read, not a big book, that you know, you are going to learn a couple things and maybe learn a couple life lessons along the way? How important was it for you to have that?
Well, I learned a lot right then, I can tell you that. Thank God for my daughters. But, you know, I kind of put this together only for the fact that, you know, playing ball, I mean, you're right, there's a lot of guys which, you know, one of the guys on my team that I, at Syracuse, which I never knew it until, like, my last year, and realized that his father shot his mother right in front of him when he was 9 years old. And that's, I don't know how you live with something like that. But everything I tried to do as far as, like, the things I put in this book, I mean, there was a reason, you know, the hard work, the routine you go through, and just little things which, you know, my father would always do as he was learning how to walk again. And, you know, once you get the mechanics down, it comes down to just practicing your mindset, setting goals, and that's everything you do in life. And actually, the afterword of the book, a friend of mine who played football at Syracuse, and I didn't even know him at Syracuse, I met him afterwards, but he put a little afterward just comparing foul shooting and entrepreneurship. And it's kind of funny when he, if you read the book, it's almost like he's got the same set of things as I do. Set goals, make a business plan, or your game, take initiative, motivation, drive, determination, passion, focus, get excited about the end game. It's all the stuff you do and you're shooting a foul shot, that's what you do in business. It's just a different product. And I tried to impart some of the things as far as when you talk about practice, your mindset, and you know, setting goals, just on little things that my dad used to do is learn how to walk. He had to do things differently than everybody else. But no matter what the process or what you're trying to do, the same principles normally fall into play. So it is a simple read, and it's, like I say, I wrote it in a way where fourth and fifth graders could read it. But if anybody at a higher level wanted to actually look through it and pay attention, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this, and I know that people will get better if they really want to.
And we're going to take a quick step aside here, speaking with Jim Lee through Dance Tour Broadcast Media on your book, 15 Feet for Free. Every book bought, and you have some with you today, every book that's bought will donate half of the money to wounded veterans in memory of your father. And we will be talking a little bit more about your father's story, as well as the Syracuse basketball team so far. They played a couple of games. They played against Hampton and Kennesaw State. Obviously, they're going to have some bigger competition coming up with Iowa or Texas, and then obviously California, who they've played a couple times in the last few years here. But we will talk more about your book. We'll talk about your father. We'll talk about some of the lessons that you have in here. And we'll go a little bit deeper into Jim Boeheim, who had his 70th birthday yesterday and had some great compliments to you in this book. And I want to let everybody know that's here now. You can get 10% off off to Cam's Pizzeria by grabbing one of our cards through Dance Tour Broadcast Media. We're the only ones that have them. So you grab a VIP card, and that'll get you 10% off to Cam's tonight and all throughout the year, as well as into next year. So it doesn't have an end date on it. You can get it whenever you want while we're here tonight. And also, if you want to come up and talk to Jim about his book as well, and we'll be back to talk about Syracuse and what you think about some of the shooters, since you were such a good shooter from 15 feet, what you think about the guys so far. That's Jim Lee and Dance Tour. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today. Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's CAMSpizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
Back here, Dancetora of Wake Up Call with Dancetora, Dancetora Broadcast Media, working with Cam's Pizzeria. Jim Lee, who played with the Syracuse Orange and whose brother used to be the coach at Lemoyne. We're going to talk about this Syracuse team for a little bit because it is connected to the book that you have. And this book gives money to wounded veterans. Every book that's bought, half of the money that goes into the book will go back to wounded veterans, and obviously you try to donate all throughout the year to them and do great things, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I think it's fair. Obviously a lot of people in this community care about Syracuse. I know that your opinions are always very honest and very open about what you see from the team, so we'll start in the broad scope. What have you taken away from Syracuse, albeit Kennesaw State and Hampton? Have you seen anything, some key points that you really kind of picked out of these last two games that you can take into the next couple of games coming up?
It kind of feels funny talking about this on a Lemoyne College campus. But as far as the first games, I think Kennesaw State, they were just overmatched. There's nothing they could do about it. Syracuse is a bigger, stronger team, and for them, there's probably they get a nice payday coming up to Syracuse in the Dome, but they just couldn't match up. So
they're really, aside from just getting some of the younger players a chance to play, get them some more court time, it was actually a good opening game. As far as Hampton, I thought Hampton had a very good team. I mean, they're well coached. They got the ball inside. They passed it well. They had a lot of backdoor plays on that zone, and but same thing. Their center was only 6'5". I mean, that was like a 5-point game with under 10 minutes to go. So they, I thought they did a great job moving the ball, and that's what they were patient. And that's all the stuff Syracuse has to worry about. You know, the teams they play obviously will be a little bigger and stronger, and that will be a test for them. This week they've got going down to the Garden. They play California Thursday night, and then depending on whether they win or lose, and Iowa plays Texas. There's three good teams year in, year out. So they'll get a good test this weekend. I think they've got a totally different team this year than last year. The kids aren't as big in the middle, even though they might be as tall. They're not as wide. I think they might be quicker, though, and I think they should. You know, they've got to probably press a little more, because if you're quicker, you press a little more. I know Coach Bain probably won't do this, but maybe throw a man-to-man switch up from the zone here and there just to give a little different look, but that's his call. But you have to play a different type of game when you got different kids. And, you know, for what they did the first two games, and even the two exhibition games, they're very quick up front, and if they show that press a lot, I think that'll upset a few teams and just get pick up the pace of the play.
And to go away from Syracuse for a second before we go back to that, November 15th is when Bloomfield College came, what was in Albany, up against Lemoyne. Lemoyne was able to win that game, and then also in Albany, Wilmington University. So back-to-back games, Lemoyne College men's basketball team has won both of their games. So Syracuse and Lemoyne right now are 2-0. I think that it's important to note that Steve Evans, who's been a part of the Lemoyne program for a long time as men's basketball head coach, definitely has done a lot of work. He's been through a lot. And I think that, you know, his leadership is something that goes unnoticed in the community a little bit. And he's been on my show multiple times to kind of talk about his vision and his mission and what he's doing. So right now, Syracuse, Lemoyne in the same boat. They're both playing these teams that you want to beat early on in the season. Obviously, they're not in your conference. So as you see Syracuse move forward, you see Lemoyne move forward. What can you say about, you know, having Lemoyne right here, obviously in the backyard of the bookstore and Cam's Pizzeria? How important is it for the community to go out there and to see a team like Lemoyne College basketball, like Steve Evans' program, and not just Jim Boeheim, but to also take a look at Steve Evans? How important do you think that is to uplift this community?
I think as far as Lemoyne goes, and this is just my opinion, but you told me I could give my opinion. I think that if you've got two schools in town, one's Division I, one's Division II, I just think if Lemoyne would recruit some more local kids, because there's a lot of good local players that, you know, they might, you know, you don't have to get the most talented. He goes, it's all about being a team. There's five guys on a team. You get five guys that can know how to play the game of basketball, play together. And I think the more local people you get, the better the crowds will be, and the better the crowds will be, I think students will get more involved, and that's taking away nothing from the kids that do come here. It's just a matter of if guys have a chance to go to a game where everybody's from out of town, odds are they'll probably take the Division I team as opposed to the Division II team. But other than that, I mean, like you say, it's right here. It's in town. It's on like 5 miles away. And they still have, 10 years ago or something like that, where they upset them in the exhibition game. And that's always a big thing. And that's like one of their exhibition, I think, when they played Adrian, Division III school coming in. I mean, that's a big thing for those kids. And they played good for one half. But, I think Syracuse and Lemoyne, they go hand in hand. And, the kids get to, if they get to know each other, which I'm not sure if they do. Back when we played, we knew most of the Lemoyne players and they knew us. I mean, but that was a different era.
When you look at Lemoyne, you talk about wanting to have some local players, and I think it's important to note that there is a few players, one from Peekskill, also Port Jervis on the team, Queens, which, you know, obviously isn't close but still within the state, Moravia as well. And then you have, you know, some other, Maine, Massachusetts. They do have an international player, West Virginia. But then you have Mount Vernon, New York, and Poughkeepsie, New York. So, you know, it's not Syracuse. It's not some of those local areas, Syracuse, Cazenovia, Canastota, that type of thing, Rochester. But there are some local guys that are on this team and get an opportunity. I think one of the big things that Steve Evans said to me was that he's not just looking for guys who, you know, you don't make a Division I team, so you come to Division II and you kind of treat it like high school. I can play when I want to play. I can take a day off. I don't have to go that hard in practice because I'm not at a D1 school. And what he did was he said he really started to weed out everything at Le Moyne College. He started to take out all the players that didn't care. If he had someone that was maybe out of the top five, let's say he's a 4.5 on the scale of five being the best on what you need to have as far as talent. But if his work ethic was a 1, he's not on the team anymore. Those guys would sit the bench, and then he would say, you know what, we had to part ways with a few people. And I think what he's really looking to do is say, I'm willing to take a guy that's a 3 out of 5 or a 2 out of 5 that's going to give me 5 out of 5 effort so that I can build my team, have good character kids, have kids that care, kids that want to win together and play together. And he's starting to kind of change the dynamic a little bit from last season into this season. And I think it's a big thing to say for, you know, people that know Steve Evans and some people on this campus that don't even know Steve Evans at men's basketball, that he has a mentality of a lot of morals and values and doing the right thing, and that winning will find its way once you start to establish something like that. And I think that's something that's important, not just to Le Moyne, but to the community, to know that you have a coach that is not going to bring in people that are academically ineligible or let people shave off a little practice here and there, but to actually have guys on the team that are going to take it seriously so that when you do go out and see a game, you can feel good as a community that your coach is putting together a product of kids that really honestly want to win for Le Moyne.
I guess I can't really understand the concept of not playing hard. I know every team that I've ever been a part of or anybody ever played with at whatever level, and you can talk Division II, Division III, most people don't understand how good those kids players are. If you're playing college basketball, you're a good player. But I just go back to the time when we could be playing in the park and everybody played as hard as they could. It didn't matter if you were over there and you're only keeping score in your head. If you know how to play ball, you're going to play ball as hard as you can just because you've got to prove it to yourself day in, day out. As far as the, I always like, whether it's high school, college, or any type of college, 1, 2, or 3, it doesn't matter. I always like the teams that play together as a team. And a lot of times, most of the time, I will root for the underdog team, which might have 5 kids that might not be athletically better than the other team, but they play very good together. They make the bounce pass, which you never see anymore. They make the right play. And I like it when teams like that upset all these kids, which I think was what you're talking about. They might have more talent, but they don't really, maybe they don't go to class as much. Maybe they, you know, they don't do the way the game that's the way it's supposed to be. You think your talent's going to override everything, but it doesn't. And this goes on the same as we talked earlier about in life. It's all the guys, the businesses that play together as a team and work together, they're the ones that most times go to the top.
And when we see that, you know, getting back to your book, having 15 feet for free, I played basketball all through grammar school, high school, and then when I went to college, I started broadcasting, so I stopped playing that when I went out to Scranton, but I know how important 15 feet were. And to me, I go out and shoot 100 free throws when it's snowing outside. When it's 20 degrees outside, I go into my driveway, I'd shoot 100. If I made 90, I'd go inside. If I made 80 or 70, I'd start my second 100 and go again. I had the mentality when it came to basketball, which is something that I've always loved, to keep playing until I was satisfied with my efforts, keep pushing myself. And if I was 10 out of 10, then I wanted to be 10 out of 10 the second time. In my head, I wanted to somehow be 11 out of 10. I wanted to make it even better than it could be. And that's what I took into starting my own company. That's what I took in to being in college and doing a lot of different things. That if you want to own your own business, if you want to do something that really has your name on it at the end of the day, you have to push yourself that extra term. And I think you know all about that, and as far as, you know, what your father's done and what he had been through before he had passed. So When we look at this book, I think, yeah, we're seeing a basketball hoop on the front of it, but I think behind that basketball hoop, we're seeing anybody that's in here and anybody that's listening in on wakeupcalldt.com that there's not a person behind this basketball hoop that can't connect to this in some way, saying, if I didn't keep shooting, if I didn't keep trying, if I didn't keep asking more out of myself, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I think some people in their 40s, 50s, 60s still don't know exactly what that is that they want to do, but it's important to keep shooting. And I want you to kind of go off of that a little bit.
I just feel like, you talk about the book itself. I know for me personally, I mean, sports played a big part in my life. It has nothing to do with the sport. It's everything that you learn that's involved with it or around it that matters, and it still matters. I mean, one of the, as you know, one of the things I learned, like, you know, practice is always at 4 or 5, but we better get there at 3:40. So that's why I'm always early to something, as you are too, Dan.
I appreciate that, Jim. Thanks. I am late sometimes. I will take that upon myself. My wife reminds me all the time. But you can continue.
But I thought you'd like that. Just little things like that. Having a schedule, time management, when you're on the court, working hard, just pushing yourself, trying to be the best you can be against some really great players that we had. Looking at things that, like, all right, he's more athletic than I am, but how can I use my head to make sure that I perform better than he does so I get the playing time? And it's the same thing you do, like, if you're a salesman. You have to be out and ready. Like, what can I do differently in order to get this account? So, and everything that I learned playing basketball, but the most important thing is like the camaraderie and the teamwork that I learned. That's what's in everything I try to do. It's got to be as a team. And I've noticed that a lot in, like, just in separate dealings, where guys that play on a team, they think everything is a team or whatever they do. And but you can tell sometimes when people, like, were never involved with a team, and a lot of theirs is I or my, and that's not how you do things. I mean, I don't think there's any better thing out there than being part of a team playing a sport. And especially, you know, the higher up the chain you can get as far as a competitive level, it just, like, makes your mind that much sharper for when you get done playing sports.
And I think even outside of a team, you know, a team doesn't have to be on a court or on a field. I think, you know, even at Lemoyne College, with some movies that are being made, people that are working on different things here, as well as the different events that go on here at the bookstore and different things that they show here. And it could be anything. I mean, when I was in college, peer ministry, campus ministry, whatever it's called on, you know, your campus or your university. But, you know, we did best buddies. We had retreats. We helped out at soup kitchens when I was in high school. I think, you know, if you get involved in ministry, or you get involved with making movies, or you get involved with being part of a radio station or a TV station, whether you're a camera person or whatever it may be, or you just get together and you have a book club. I think a big thing about teamwork is that you learn on Lemoyne's campus just as much as you would learn anywhere, that if you can't work at a team now, you're going to have a really hard time in life. Because even with my company, where predominantly I'm wearing 15 different hats, I work with you, I work with CAMS, I work with Carvel, I work with a lot of people that we have to collaborate, we have to come together, we have to talk about different things and kind of justify what we want to do and what works. And so I think even on this campus, sitting here right now, I think on a daily basis at Lemoyne, there's dreams being born every day, there's ideas, and I think some things wouldn't happen on this campus without that teamwork, which you had the teamwork on a basketball court, I had the teamwork, you know, in a TV control room and on the air inside of a gym, but other people are going to have teamwork in a lot of different ways and could be working on it right now.
You know, I got invited to do the ACC games last year, and I've never been on TV doing any type of that work, but I was amazed at, like, the teamwork that is involved in that, from the producer to Mark Larson, Dan Lika, all the guys behind the scenes in the truck from the in different areas, different locations, and it's just amazing how they all have to come together just to put a little production that it was like a half hour to an hour long, and that was, like, kind of cool to see. Just a different aspect in the way that they have everything down to a science, the management of it, the time frame, I mean, everything. But it's everything that we used to do playing a sport is involved in every type of business, especially when there's more than one person doing it, because the better the team operates, the better the whole, you know, the better the whole.
And to kind of use that to transition back to Syracuse and this community and what the team is doing for Division I basketball, because they are the only D1 program in the area. When you look at this year's team, I think Jim Boeheim said something really important after the Hampton game. As he said, this is the type of year where we're going to have to fight for everything, and we're going to have to do it together. That, and I think I cautioned some people even 2003 when Syracuse won the national championship. Carmelo Anthony was not the only reason. There were bad nights that he had. There were shots that he missed. And if Akeem Warrick didn't block that final shot by Kansas, it could have been a tie game in overtime. So Akeem has found longevity in the NBA, along with Carmelo Anthony. Jerry McNamara, with everything that he did with the team. Josh Pace, who a lot of people don't know, has been overseas for over half a decade now and loves the work that he's doing over there and prefers to be overseas because he's really felt like he's grown his outside shooting. He's not just an inside floater guy anymore. He's not a one-dimensional five-point guy anymore. So I think with the 2003 team, a lot of focus is on Carmelo, but it came from a team effort. Jim Boeheim says this year, listen, it's got to be a little bit of everybody. Did you kind of see that in the first two games, that it wasn't just Rakeem, it wasn't just Caleb Joseph, it wasn't a couple guys, but it was kind of a mixture of everybody? Because especially in the Kennesaw State game, there were a lot of players that were almost at the double-double area. And it could have happened going forward in the other game if, you know, Chris McCullough had stepped up a little bit in rebounding. But do you kind of feel that it is another season where it is what Jim Boeheim is saying, that a team is the only way Syracuse is going to win, when we start talking about teams being the most important thing in school, in business, and on the court?
Yeah, I mean, when you're not as talented, and I'm not saying they're not, you know, they're not, a, might not be as big and strong, they've got to play together as a team. And I think they know that. They had some great ball movement. If you look out for each other, then you don't care who scores, you don't care who does what, everybody has a role, you step up. I mean, I think one of the gentlemen that you forgot to mention on the 2003 team, which I think is probably one of the most important players, was the center, Craig Ford. He was the perfect center for that team, because he didn't have to score, he didn't have to shoot. If he needed the ball, that would have been one more player that needed to. I mean, everybody fit perfectly into the system there. They all had roles, and they all did a great job. This year's team, there's a lot of unknowns, so they're going to have to help each other, got to work together. And you can tell, like, they all like each other. I mean, I've met a bunch of them this year earlier, and they get along well, they fool around, but that's what you want. If, as long as you're all friends and you meet each other on the court, especially if you're the underdog, and I think this year they might be the underdog in more games than they have been in the past. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's the best time to win. And when you're the underdog and you do something to beat somebody, that is the absolute best feeling around.
When you're in a community like Central New York, where the expectation for a team like Syracuse, of which you're an alum of, to know that a 25-win season and a trip to the Sweet 16 is a must. It has to happen at this point, or it's a busted season. If you get to the Elite Eight, but they lose, to some people it's still considered a bust. Do you look at that as kind of a positive negative, knowing that we have seasons like this where the team loses a lot of guys? They don't have Jeremy Grant. They don't have Tyler Ennis. They don't have CJ Fair. They don't have somebody who I think should have gotten a lot more respect by Keita. When they're all gone and you're on a team like this and 25 wins is expected and a Sweet 16 berth is expected, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing to have that in the community? Because obviously I think you can see the positive of it, but the negative of it is if the team somehow ends up with 24 wins or maybe they get bumped out in the round of 32, that maybe some Syracuse fans turn their back on it.
I don't think so, because they lost all those players. But when you're at a program like this, and no offense to the guys playing, but the guys sitting down, probably were hoping for a sprained ankle or for people to leave, because when they're just waiting for a chance to get in the game and prove themselves. I remember my sophomore year when I was sixth man come off the bench. I mean, everybody had any of his friends, but I was hoping for a couple sprained ankles just so I'd get a little more time. And I think that's what they've got here. I mean, all those kids left, but it opens the door and creates an opportunity for everybody that has said they're coming to Syracuse. And they got some, I mean, Tyler Roberson is a great athlete. I kind of like B.J. Johnson. I hope he keeps getting playing time. I think the more he plays, I think the better his confidence is going to be. I like Ron Patterson. He's just got to keep playing hard. But, I mean, so there's three kids right there, which hardly got any time last year. But, I mean, I like their style of play. I mean, they play hard all the time. They've just got to, I think that the more that they play, the more confident they'll be, and then the mistakes will probably cease a little bit, but... Remember, when people leave, it's an opportunity for somebody else.
And I think that was important, because the question came up after the Hampton game about, I believe it was B.J. Johnson, and it was asked to Jim Boeheim, what is it about B.J. getting more time? And he said, how did he get more time, was the question that was asked to Jim. And Jim said he got C.J. Fair and Jeremy Grant to leave. And I think that really says a lot about, I mean, Jim's always very honest about it, but it is. It's about talent, and he's always, I think he would have said that about C.J. Fair in C.J.'s first or second season, that he got an opportunity because Chris Joseph isn't here anymore. It's not that they're not talented, and it's not they're not capable. They're at Syracuse for a reason. But Jim is always asking for the guys to push themselves and do more. And I think that it says a lot about a team when a B.J. Johnson can make shots, but he hardly played at all as a freshman, and now here he is in his second season getting a little bit of time. I think it speaks volumes about Jim's ability to bring in depth. But at the same time, I also feel like Jim is always trying to speak to his athletes, and you were one of, you know, you were obviously in the Syracuse program, and you've been around Jim a lot in his time at Syracuse, so you can kind of speak on the type of person he is. When he says something in the media in a press conference, do you ever feel like he is trying to say something to that player?
He might be able to. I'm sure he's got a subtle ways to get things across. But I think sometimes, like, the communities and the media put a lot of extra pressure on these kids. You got to remember, when they come in, they're freshmen. I mean, way back when we played, you had to play on the freshman team. And that's probably the best thing that could have happened to me. I mean, we got so much experience, got so much better. I mean, I know for a fact that I improved 4 years in a row. I got better. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, some of the kids, they don't stay that long anymore. But you can't look at a kid that does stay 4 years. It doesn't mean he's not going to keep playing, because if they keep, you know, those kids were pretty good last year. Just because they didn't get playing time, that doesn't mean that they can't play. It all depends on, like, you know, who's out there, what the makeup of their team is. As long as they keep getting better every year, and that's the whole thing, from start to finish, and whether you even make it on the court or not, if you improve from your freshman to senior year, it's a success. And once again, it all depends on who your teammates are. Do you fit in? Can you play, as you know, better than them at the time? Can you mold together? And I was fortunate enough to be in a situation where I was given an opportunity to play, and it worked out. If I was on another team, it might not have. But I mean, each one of these kids, as long as they get better, that's all you can ask for. And then, as we talked about earlier, they just need an opportunity. And once you have the opportunity, though, you better be ready to perform, or coach is pretty straightforward on this. If you're not, you'll be sitting next to them. But I mean, everybody knows where they stand. But sometimes kids don't match up in certain games against their opponents either. And another thing that a lot of people don't know, nobody sees what these kids do in practice. I mean, the everyday fan might be thinking, oh, how come so-and-so's not a player? Well, maybe so-and-so might not be doing what he's supposed to in practice, and there's only one person. I shouldn't say there's 15 people that know what goes on there, but coach is in charge of all that. And what you don't see behind closed doors a lot of times translates into whether you play or not. He needs people to do exactly what he wants on a court in a given situation. And if it hasn't been proven in practice yet, odds are that that person will not get the time. And that's what a lot of people overlook.
And I definitely, you know, I can agree with that because I've been at Syracuse practice numerous times, and there's a very select few of us that actually get to sit in there courtesy of Jim Boeheim to see some of these things. And I knew BJ Johnson was a good shooter for a while now because of practice. But there's something missing in practice. There's a disconnect when I can see him shoot well in practice and then he's not out there in a game. And I think that that goes into maybe tenacity. I think it goes into maybe with a guy like BJ, his strength, because he is a skinnier guy. So there's a lot of things that can go into Jim Boeheim's decisions, but I think at the end of the day, a coach that's on his way to 1,000 wins, you can't really say too many negative things about the way that he thinks and what he's going after. We'll continue with Jim Boeheim, who had his 70th birthday yesterday, and then we'll also talk about longevity with Steve Evans here at Lemoyne, as well as the longevity of Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, and we'll talk about a guy who shares the same number that you had at Syracuse University, and that's number 10, Trevor Cooney. And everybody in the Syracuse community has something to say about Trevor Cooney. We'll hear what you have to say about him coming up here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora with Jim Lee. Once again, his book, Giving Money Back to Wounded Veterans. If you want to get information on that, you can come up and see us. And also make sure before you leave to get your VIP card to Cam's Pizzeria, which will get you 10% off every single time you visit Cam's here at Lemoyne College in Oswego, as well as Camillus. And outside of Camillus, you can also get it in Baldwinsville, and that includes tonight. So if you're going to get another slice, get 10% off with us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to. Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today.
Welcome back here, wrapping up Wake Up Call with Dan Satora with Jim Lee of the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team, and alum there, and also creator of this book, 15 Feet for Free, Giving Back to Wounded Veterans. because of everything that went on with your father and everything that, he had been through in his life, and all the lessons that he taught you also involved in this book as well. It is a book on helping someone learn the sport of basketball, but it's also about the game of life, and it's also about how to overcome obstacles and be able to be successful in life no matter what you're doing, whether it's playing basketball, being a doctor, a teacher, a business owner. I think that there's a lot to learn in this book, and I definitely appreciate Jim being here with me today. And there's a few more things for us to talk about. You wore number 10 when you were at Syracuse. The man that's wearing it now is Trevor Cooney. I don't think that you took as much criticism as Mr. Cooney. You also had the benefit of not having social media back in the day that people could talk about anything. But Trevor is somebody that there's so many opinions. There's a lot of scrutiny. What do you think about Trevor Cooney? And obviously you were a good shooter in your time when you were on the basketball court, and still from this book and everything that you teach can make those free throws and can make those jump shots. So you know the art of shooting. Trevor Cooney has been a good shooter, but he's been criticized. Do you think the criticism has been fair, or do you think it's been a little bit too much?
I think poor Trevor just got to keep playing. If there's anything about him right now, he's not as consistent as he should be as far as shooters go. But then again, he'll have a game or two which he's off the charts, and that helps his overall percentage. But the good thing about it, we talked about it earlier, the little things that go unnoticed, if you don't really understand the game, is he plays great defense. He plays hard all the time. He's a good rebounder. He's strong. He sees the court. He does all the little things. Like the other day in one of the games, he didn't make a shot. He had 7 points. He was 7 for 8 from the foul line. But he still contributes. If you're not scoring, there's so many other areas which he can contribute, and he does. And the good thing I like about Trevor is he's a real nice kid, and he always plays as hard as he can. So a lot of these guys that get on Trevor, I mean, they've never been there. They don't know. The kid tries as hard as he can. He gives his all every single time. And he's a great kid. And I'd rather have a kid on my team like him all the time. I mean, because he's a good man.
When you look at Trevor Cooney and the fact that he can make shots and he can be so successful, and then there's also times where there is that struggle. He can make 11 threes against Notre Dame and then go 0 for 8 in another game. What do you attribute to that? Having been a shooter, having been somebody that tried to really perfect your ability to make shots from away from the basket, what goes into it in your mind? Because I think a lot of people have tried to figure out Trevor. I think from knowing Trevor and even knowing him on a personal level somewhat, not just on the professional side of being a broadcaster to an athlete, but to talk to Trevor, that there is a little bit of a confidence thing, I think, at times that kind of knocks him out of the game. But what would you attribute to it, having met the team, been around the team, watched him play, been a shooter yourself, when he has a 20% game and then a 60% game, where's the disconnect in your mind?
I mean, I think a lot of times, just once again, just watching on TV or watching when I go up there, I think some of the times when he has a off-shooting night, it just seems to me that he's drifting a little. When he goes up in a shot, he seems to be drifting to the left more so than anything else. And you have to keep your shoulders, your head and shoulders square to the basket every time you shoot the ball. And so if I had to pick one thing, it seems that there's a lot of move. When he misses, it looks like he's always drifting to his left. Even my wife made that point last year watching a couple of games. So I think once he gets that in check, but you just constantly have to. And I think, I also hope, if you get your mindset on when you used to play the best. I mean, if he was in high school, which I never saw him in high school, but if he filled it up, and it's probably like playing a game of golf. Once you take the jump shot, you're not thinking of anything because it's just there. It's just, and I think that's what he's got to get his mindset into. That is like, if he's open, you shoot it. You don't think too much, you just shoot it.
Looking at what he's been able to do and how he's kind of gotten his game to a different level at certain points, when you know Trevor Cooney and you know his film and you know his backstory, which I looked into a lot when he was coming into Syracuse, he's a lot more than just a shooter. And what he's done the last couple of games is he's gone inside. Instead of taking the shot, he's attacked the rim. Boeheim says, I want him to do it more. he kind of takes that in the Hampton game, and the last shot that Syracuse made with under 10 seconds to go was Trevor going all the way down to the rim, up and under, knowing that the team was winning, knowing that they were up by double digits. He went after the basket as if they were trying to tie the game before the buzzer rang, and I talked to him about that tenacity and that want to go after it, and he keeps saying, I need to do it more, but is that what you think can really help a shooter get more comfortable when he's attacking the rim, when he's going after it? Does he really have to show his versatility to get more comfortable out there?
Sometimes I think when he does that, it's just part of the game. I think if he can drive to the basket more, it will open up his jump shot on the outside. And once they respect your drive, it can make shots easier. And the defender has to watch now two things instead of one. If they, you know, last year I think the team's gotten the habit of just guarding with a jump shot. But if you have to worry about him driving, and once he drives, now somebody's got to pick him up if he beats his man, and he's a good passer, and that opens up different areas. You have a two-on-one situation with somebody else. And I just think if he keeps doing that, so he's more of a total player. He doesn't have to be known. He's not just a shooter. He's a good basketball player. And, of course, sometimes you get labeled that because you are a good shooter, but he's got to make sure he makes that part of his whole game ball on the floor. Make the defense be aware of everything he can do.
When you look at Trevor as compared to James Sutherland, I think one of the things with James, and I addressed it with James a little bit, I went down and saw him in NBA Summer League last year as well, that if he didn't have a clear shot at the basket, he wasn't taking it. He didn't like a hand in his face. He didn't like anybody to contest him at all. And when you're in the NBA, you're going to get that all the time. Trevor doesn't seem to be that afraid to go after it. And not just Trevor, but also B.J. Johnson, who we talked about a little bit earlier on Wake Up Call of Dance Tour Live here from Cam's Pizzeria, that when B.J. had an opportunity, albeit Kennesaw State, when he got a shot in the corner, he took it with a hand in his face. And I think that says a lot about a shooter, too. Is Trevor a tenacious shooter in your mind? Because, at least to me, he's not the soft shooter, if I can label it that James Sutherland was, where as quick as somebody got in front of him, he passed the ball off. I don't think Trevor's that kind of guy.
No, James was smart enough to know that he was a good shooter with nobody on him. He was smart enough to know he couldn't put the ball on the floor, so that's why he didn't. I mean, and there's a lot of people who can't make the distinction between the two. And I think a lot of people just worry too much about Trevor. He's a good basketball player, and it's all going to work out. You know, you've had two games. You've got to remember, the first two games were exhibitions, and you go back 30, 40 years, like we played, they were scrimmages. Nobody saw the scrimmages. You worked on things and ironed out some things before you got into the regular season.
So to look at this team overall, one of the things we were talking about is longevity. Jim Boeheim just turned 70 years old. He's been with the Syracuse program as a player and as a coach. And you look at also here at Lemoyne College, almost 15 years for Steve Evans. He's going more toward his second decade than his first now. When you look at the coaches in this community and knowing that Steve has been here for such a long time, we talked about OCC, Dave Pasiak's been with the program for over a decade. Jim Boeheim is going on four decades as a coach right now. When you look at everything that these guys have done in this area, what does it say about Syracuse sports and about this community where some people get fired after year two, year three? Boeheim hasn't always been successful, especially in the beginning with some things. Steve has had his moments. Dave Pasiak's had his. But that this community has three coaches in three different types of college sports, from junior college to D2 to D1, that have all lasted over a decade. What does that say to you about this community and the level of coaches that we have here, not just named Jim Boeheim?
Well, I think it's what we talked about earlier. Syracuse is a great place to live, to grow up. People around Central New York are a lot nicer than a lot of other areas in the country. And I know I have friends come up there, they can't believe how friendly people are in this area. As far as Boeheim goes, I mean, the one thing is never, he's a loyal person. I mean, if you're an employer, if you got somebody at your school for so long, almost 50 years as a player, an assistant, I mean, that's what you look for. I mean, and the same with, you know, Stevie up here. I knew Steve when he was a young boy. I met him with his father. We coached against each other, and Dave, I mean, same thing. It's just like they run clean programs, and that's the number one. They've got good kids to play with them. They're smart. They're in it to get an education, too. And, you know, we talked about that earlier. There's something to be said about if you have run a good, clean program, the kids are here for an education, trying as hard as they can. That's all you can ask for, as long as everybody is trying their best. And you put a product on the floor that people can be proud of.
And you talk about a clean program, and obviously Syracuse has, for the last few years, been up and down the road with what's going to happen, NCAA sanctions, the NCAA going in and checking out Syracuse. So many different things have gone on. There's so many rumors that I field on a monthly basis, sometimes a daily or weekly basis. You've heard different things. You've known Jim Boeheim. You've been around the program for a long time. Adrian Autry, Mike Hopkins, Jerry McNamara, all of which have been on my show, people that I've talked to that I have respect for and have respect back at me, which I appreciate every single day. I can't envision running a bad program here, but obviously different programs get checked out. A program like Kentucky doesn't seem to ever be on the radar, but there's things that you know have been said to happen there as well. When you look at Syracuse, how do you kind of field everything as an alum when there is this eye on Syracuse that's been here for over 2 years now?
You know, I don't know enough behind the scenes what they're talking about, what they're getting into. I guess only the NCAA knows that, but as far as, like, you know, we got Jim, Jerry, Adrian, and Mike are all good people. They do the right thing, and a lot of time, even, and not just this program, other programs, a lot of times you can't dictate what other people do. It's out of your control, and is that the case or not? I don't know, because I don't know much about it, so I really can't comment on that, because I just don't know, so I don't want to say anything that's out of ordinary, or I guess we're all going to find out probably before Christmas.
And before we let everybody go here, obviously a good Christmas gift to get is this 15 feet for free book, because of the fact that it says so much about your family. It says about your father, about the things that you've learned. And like I said before, some of us have been on the basketball court. Some of us have taken shots. Some of us have gone after it in that respect. But as much as I love the sport of basketball, I became a broadcaster and a business owner. So you talk about that in this book, that you can find success through this book, and that you can get this for anybody at any age to kind of learn, whether you're a college student or you're somebody that's in a job right now or you're looking to start something, that this book can really change some lives. And so I want to leave people with this, having Veterans Day pass recently, just what your father has meant to you in your life and what he continues to echo through to you, even though he's not physically here, just what your dad meant in this book and what the importance of having a good father is.
Well, first off, for all of your listeners out there, I mean, if they want a nice Christmas present, 15 Feet for Free is available at authorhouse.com for like $14.99. So you can't go wrong for something like that, even if you're just looking for a stocking stuffer. But as far as what we've been able to do over the last 11 years, we've raised $265,000, which we've been able to give to our veterans with disabilities in this area. And, you know, that's one of the best things I've ever done in my life. And it's not just me. It's all my friends who get involved with this golf tournament I run. This I wanted to do on the side in order to raise a little more money. And just kind of hoping down the road, if by chance it ever, heck, I'm sure it'll never be a bestseller, as I'm not really an author, but if you take the content for what it is and you want to get a little better, or just for a simple read, I mean, if there's any way ever through social media, wherever it gets out there, where we could sell a couple hundred thousand books, that's a couple hundred thousand dollars more, which I can give to the disabled veterans. And that's actually the main reason for writing this book, and that's why you've got me on the show.
Well, I appreciate it as always, and for everyone in Central New York that's doing good things, I think it's important to know that through Dance Tour Broadcast Media, you don't have to be an athlete, you don't have to have won a gold medal or a championship somewhere, but when you do good things in the community, they deserve to be noticed, and this book is one of them. And you can get it at AuthorHouse.com. Once again, 15 feet for free. It's also on WakeUpCallDT.com. And I want to thank Cam's Pizzeria, the best pizza in town, the only place you can find cheeseburger pizza, which I like to get all the time, and I finally got Jim to try a piece. But not only with that, with your book, Jim, and with everything that Tony, yourself, and I try to bring to this community, I want to give a special thank you to you, and I appreciate you coming out and talking on a lot of different topics, but we're definitely going to keep with this 15 feet for free, and the more we get it out there, the hope is that we can help some wounded veterans, and my grandfather's fought in the wars, and I have a lot of family and great uncles that were in concentration camps, planes shot down, a lot of different things that happened, so I can't thank you enough for doing something like this, which I think speaks to all my ancestors that have passed on, as well as everybody that's still here, so I thank you for that.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and if you haven't had a chance to get to Cam's Pizzeria, you're missing out, so hurry up and get here. Right, Tony?
And thank everybody that got their card for Cam's. Please enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Dan Tatora, and for Jim Lee, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.